It's over here. Y'all look pretty today. Feeling good. Looking good. and y'all, some of y'all might know what that is from. It's a line from a movie. Feeling good. Looking good. Play this video before getting our award. Go ahead, Brandon. Play this little video. New year, church. It's time for new beginnings. As Marjorie said, time for maybe resolutions, whether they're spiritual, whether they're natural. It's a time for us to rethink things. It's a time for us to reassess things. And I want to talk this morning about breakthrough. And I want to talk about mountains, because this is what Mark's talking about mountains. And sometimes we look for the mountain to move, and sometimes it does. But sometimes God just moves us around the mountain. The mountain doesn't have to move out of our way. We just can't let the mountain stop us from going the way God's planned for us to go. And too many times we've let excuses be our crutch. We've let our weaknesses be our crutch. We make excuses why we can't have victory, why we can't move forward. We want to blame someone from our past. Maybe you want to blame your parents or blame something in your childhood or blame your addiction or blame whatever it is that's holding you back. And it's time to stop allowing that mountain to keep you stuck in a place you don't belong. It's time to allow God to propel you. And I'll think about this. We've all been to the mountains of North Carolina. I guess most of us have. Made a trip up to Boone or, Asheville or Jefferson or wherever. If you notice, when they built those roads, there's three ways you can get past a mountain that I know of. Tunnels, they go right through a mountain. Go through West Virginia, you go through these long tunnels that go right through a mountain. If you ride with Bruce, he will hold his breath. First time he did that, I was freaked out. I'm like, is he dying? Do I call 911? I mean, all of a sudden, we go through a tunnel. You all right, bro? So anyway, you go through a tunnel. Then there's roads that go over the mountain, right, and down the hill to grandmother's house we go, right? And then you've been on these roads, right? What are they doing? Going around the mountains. I'll be going around a mountain when she comes. Hee-haw. Around the mountain. So either you go through it, you go over it, or you go around it. Now, I've never moved a mountain physically. Have y'all? Those mountains in Asheville stay there. No matter how much I want them to disappear and get out of my way so I can have a straight shot, I've got to do what the road says. I've got to follow the path that's before me. And sometimes I think we think, okay, I pray for this mountain to move. This mountain just isn't moving. When God is saying, man, look, you move around the mountain. I've got what you need to press you through. I think about how many challenges hold us back because we think that we don't have the power or the authority or the strength to overcome because we are doing within ourselves. But if we will look unto God as our source for everything, because some of us have been through some very transitional things this year in our lives, in our homes, in our families. We've been through some transitional times. As a nation, we've been through some transitional times. 2017, and I love what Shirley Stein says. When I seen that, I thought about the same thing this year. All the stuff this year in the news that's happened. I mean, think about how transitional it's been that a man named Donald J. Trump becomes president of the United States. That shouldn't have happened. But it did. You think about the massive hurricanes that we've had, unprecedented storms through Texas and Florida that were record-breaking storms that did so much damage. You think about the mass shootings we've seen this year. Think about the church shooting, that, of course, in Texas that we saw, and the Las Vegas shooting, and all this violence and all this stuff. We've seen a cultural war this year, a social cultural war here in this nation like we haven't seen in many, many years this year. Things coming to the forefront. We've seen all of these challenges. We've seen all of this stuff happen. We've seen all of this, but yet God remains faithful. And we tend to look at all those things as negative things, saying, look what the world's become. Look at what all we're facing. When God is saying, I am the same yesterday. I am the same right now. And I will be the same tomorrow, no matter what comes your way. I'm the same because I change not. I'm always going to be faithful. I'm always going to deliver you. I'm always going to watch over you. I'm always going to heal you. I'm always going to strengthen you because I'm God, and that's what I do, and that's who I am. And nothing in this world or in our lives can derail the power of God or take away from what he wants to do. It's amazing the strength he gives us when we need it the very most. When we think we can't face one more day, when we think something's hit our lives that is going to put us under, when we think this is the big one, this is the Fred T. Sanford one, right? This is the big one that I'm coming to see you. When we think that's hit our lives, all of a sudden we see the strength of God show up in a way that we could never have imagined because that's what he does. We have more strength than we realize if our strength's in God. It can't be in us. And this year, 2018, what I'm expecting, what I'm looking for, is that our faith is realized in such a way that we see evidential, tangible changes and breakthroughs in our situations. Not because of charismatic worship, not because of religious zingers that make us feel good. I'm talking about a real working faith inside of us where we begin to walk in the power of a living God, where that power of God begins to change us and set us free and unlock the things that's held us back in 2017 from moving forward with our lives. You know, Marjorie can only be on that crutch so long. She may milk it for long, but there will be a point. She don't need it no more. She may walk in here 6 months. What do you still, you got 6 months? What's going on? Well, I just feel like, you don't need it. Get that crutch out of there. Walk like you somebody. So many times we carry these emotional, spiritual crutches that keep us bound, that keep us just so overwhelmed and overcome and keep us suppressed. It's time for breakthrough. It's time that mountain no longer tells us, no, you can't pass me. It's time we say, watch this and watch him. For with him all things are possible. And I will pass by this and through this and I will get to the other side. The storm of Jesus taught us this in the Sea of Galilee when he was on a boat. Disciples, the storm came. They said, we're going to cross to the other side. He got in a boat. It's amazing how we let storms rattle us to the point we begin to question, is God in this? We question, is this your will, God? Storms are going to come. Storms are going to rise. There are things that hit our lives that we have no control over. And that's when we lean on the hand of God and realize Jesus was not going to let those disciples perish. What did the storm have to do with it? The storm in that sea had nothing to do with the final effect of what he said would happen. We're crossing over. I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't say it'd be all hunky-dory. I didn't say there'd be no bumps in the road. I just said we're crossing over. We know life's a journey. Life is a highway, right? We know that. And we're on this highway. And this highway isn't always good. And we have things that hit our lives that seem so unfair and seem so insurmountable. And we think it's going to set us back, that we'll never be the same again. But God is in the restoring business. Just like you taking a 1957 rusted out Chevy with no tires or wheels, upholstery's torn, a person knows what they're doing can take that car, they can restore it, they can refix it, they can put it back on the lot. It looks like it came off the assembly line of 1957. That's what God does for us. God can restore. So what? We're broken. Okay, we're broken. It don't mean we got to stay broken. We're sick. We don't have to stay sick. We're a little bit lost right now. It doesn't mean we have to stay lost. God is the healer, and God is the compass, and God is the light that shines in the midst of our darkness. And I'm believing that this year we are going to see results that we can measure. I'm talking about there are going to be testimonies. This is what God has done. I was here, and now I'm here. I was so overwhelmed, and now I'm free. I was so discouraged, and now I got the joy of the Lord. I was so weak, but now I'm so strong. I was so low, but now God set me on high. I believe we're going to see that this year as we trust the Lord for all that he is. I got just four scriptures this morning. Man, y'all got a smile so big. Just four scriptures. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, start with verse 20 we're starting with. Yes. Now what happened here, this is give you a little preview. They'd walked by this fig tree, Jesus and his disciples, and he saw the fig tree wasn't producing fruit. It wasn't time to produce fruit. It had the leaves but no fruit. So Jesus actually physically cursed the fig tree. He said, curse it, you'll bear no fruit ever again. Now, this was symbolic of talking about Jerusalem, about Israel, about, you know, that they would be, you know, that they would not bear any fruit. And 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. It was overwhelmed. So we pick up in verse 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots. And Peter called in remembrance to him, said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus said, have faith in God. He was letting them know, we don't place faith in a system. We don't place faith in even tradition or law. We place faith in me. Place your faith in me. Just because Israel, Jerusalem, will be destroyed, will be overcome, and it was in 70 AD, trust me. I'm not going to leave it in that state. We go through times where we don't get the healing we pray for. We go through times when we lose a loved one that seems so unfair. We go through times when we cry out to God and we absolutely do not hear his voice. And we're begging to hear the voice of God. Have faith in God. Trust him. What happens when we start trusting our situations and our circumstances, then we lose focus and we lose sight of where faith should be placed. We got to believe what the word says, that all things are possible with God. You may think you have a hurt that you've been carrying for so long, and that hurt cannot ever be healed. You have a scar that's too deep to ever be healed. But I want to encourage you that by the hand of God, you can have healing for that. You can have healing. You can have hope. You can have so much hope. And I see, as time progresses, as time goes on, our world is shifting. Our culture is shifting. Things are just so different. I mean, I was at a gas station getting gas down here at Sitco a couple weeks ago, and a grown man walks into the gas station to buy something in a bathrobe. I'm like, oh my gosh, get me out of Statesville, get me out of South. I don't know what that is. I'm like, you're coming in a grown man, a bathrobe. Thank God he had clothes under it. But I'm just saying, he came in a bathrobe. Our culture has so changed, and I get that. But I want you to know that there is hope for you because there's hope in him. And that's not changed. He's still the God of all things. He can still do whatever he wants to do, and all of our hope and all of our eggs should be put in that basket because we're not of this world. We know that. Man, we sing songs like that. I'm homesick for Beulah Land, you know. We sing those songs, and I'm just a pilgrim passing through. And then we act surprised when things aren't. Church, this is not our final destination. It's a journey. It's just a journey. It's a pass through. But here's the good news. It is a pass through. We will pass through. We will pass through the fire and not be burnt. We will walk through the waters and not drown. We will face the giants and not be destroyed. Because God will fulfill what he's called his people to do. And nothing can stop that. The gates of hell can't stop that. People can't stop that. The government can't stop that, believe it or not. Nobody can stop it. It's a work in motion that will be fulfilled. And there is an ordained destiny that God has prepared for us. And no man can withdraw God's plan. It's already done. It's finished. It's set in stone. And we know how the story ends. We end up celebrating with Jesus forevermore. Have faith in God. He says this, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." Let's think about this a minute. How many times are we speaking to our mountain, or are we just speaking to our problem? Well, you know how I am, honey. I ain't going to never change. I got this weakness. I got this problem. I got this battle. It's just how it is. And I've got this hurt. Never going to go away. I've got this pain. I built this wall. It's who I am. It's what it is. Accept me or not. Get over it or not. Stay with me or leave me. Whatever. This is who I am. And we speak to that situation. But let's speak to what's holding us back. And say, you know what, mountain? Mr. Giant, Mr. Lion in the Den, Mr. Red Sea, whatever is stopping us from moving to where God wants us to be, I'm not going to make that anymore an obstacle or a problem. There's a way around the Red Sea. God dried it up. There's a way not to get eaten by a lion. God shut their mouths. There's a way not to be destroyed by a giant. God took care of that for David on his own. There's a way not for the storm to cast the boat over because God calmed the storm. Every situation, if we believe God is in it, we can trust that. And no longer let the obstacle that's held us back this past year, let it be a crutch that we keep carrying around. It's time we throw down the crutches and the things that have held us back and say, "Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. I mean, I'm really ready for healing. God, I'm really ready for victory. I'm really ready to stop making excuses of why I'm not doing what you've called me to do." See, we as a body, the church really grows. It's not about door knocking and passing out tracts and about, invitational get-togethers. It's about you, the body, sharing the word of God and extending the invitation. It's about what you are doing. And many of you do that. Many of you have brought people. Many of you have gotten with the church because of your word of mouth, because of your invitation. But if you are so bound and you're still stuck in yourself because of things in your lives, how can you possibly be a blessing and be used by God to help other people? We got to get the mote out of our eyes, so to speak, right? We got to get this out of. We got to get this problem to where it's not always standing there. I think about the Garden of Eden. Whenever they cast Adam, when God cast Adam and Eve out, put a flaming sword, they couldn't get back in. Sometimes we keep that flaming sword in our spiritual life. That's all we see is that. I always see the problem. I always see the mountain. That mountain's so big, I can't possibly. That mountain's so huge, I'm never going to get over it. This thing is so bad, so deep, so strong. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Speak to that mountain and say, "You know what, mountain? No longer are you going to dictate what I do and what I don't do. I am tired of you being a bully in front of my life. I'm tired of you keeping me trapped. I'm tired of you keeping me bound. I'm tired of you keeping me hopeless. I'm tired of being discouraged and depressed and afraid. I'm tired of it. I'm going to live life to the fullest because the joy of the Lord, that's where my strength is at. So I got to get happy about God again." I got to get happy about God. I got to get happy about who he is and what he's done and where I'm going. My Lord, my past is forgiven and my future is secure. Whom shall I fear? What charge can anybody possibly bring against me? I've been set free from that judgment through Jesus, so I can live life free from shame and free from guilt and free from fear. Because the Bible in 1 John says that perfect love casteth out all fear. Think about this. What's perfect love? Christ. The reason we live in fear is we don't truly know who we belong to. We don't know we're forgiven. We don't know our future is so secure in the hands of God. I don't have to fear what comes my way. I don't have to fear whatever happens in the world. I don't have to fear whatever attacks come against my life, because I know that I know that I know who I belong to. I know that, and I trust that. And I'm going to start speaking this year to that mountain and saying, no more are you going to stop me. No more are you going to block my way. No more. I'm going to go around you. I'm going to go through you. I'm going to go across you, whatever it is. But when I get done, Mr. Mountain, you're going to be my rearview mirror. I'm looking in that mirror, and you're going to be behind me, no longer stopping me right here. So many times our storms paralyze us to the point we can't function, and there needs to be a delivering power of God to break that paralysis. And that's what God does, man. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, it's so strong, it's so real, and it's right now for today. God's got the same authority and same power and same presence that he's always had. That's not changed. The church world's changed. Christians have changed. The landscape's changed. I get it, church. There's nothing that's wrong anymore. Everything is right. I understand that. We don't even know what people are anymore. Boy, girl, it, they, way, we. I don't know what they are. I get it. I know things have changed, okay? I mean... We're going to have so many letters to people's names, they're not going to know. I mean, it's ridiculous the letters they keep adding now. But anyway, all of that is changed. I get it. But what's not changed is the power of God to bring us freedom and healing and peace. Look, I'm a happy person. I really am. I mean, I think my family would attest to that, because I get on my wife's nerves all the time because she says, you never grew up. And my daughter's the same way, my oldest one. She's 23, and she's not grew up yet either. And I'm not going to apologize. I'm not miserable. Hey, Michelle. You know, you're here, darling. I'm not going to apologize for not being a grumpy box. I'm not going to apologize that I still like Mickey Mouse and Pink Panther and Scooby-Doo. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize that I speak to strangers in other places. Get some of my kids. We were at a restaurant last night. I'm talking to these people beside me, and my family's like, what are you doing? What do you mean what I'm doing? I'm talking to them. Use your words. The blessing, Grace. The blessing. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to let the darkness of this generation make me. I'm not going to turn into some emo kid. I'm not going to turn into that, because the world is so hard. Well, the world may be hard, but God is good. I don't serve the world. I serve Jesus. He's my King, and he's my Lord, and he's my Savior, and nothing can steal my joy if I don't let it. So don't let the world steal your joy. Don't let the world blow your candle out. Be the light and walk I'm just not going to, I know it's a tough world. I mean, look, I'm married, and I'm raising kids, and I'm a pastor. That's three strikes right there. They would say, man, life's hard. I get it. But you know what? I like being a dad 3 out of 4 days. And I like being a husband 2 out of 7 days. And I like being a pastor 6 out of 7 days. You know, I enjoy that. And I'm just not going to let the hardships of life and the giants that try to pull me down and all the voices of the news and the politicians and, you know, the North Korean dude with the bad haircut. I don't let all that try to pull me under and make me afraid. I know who I serve. If I self-combust standing here today, I know where I'd be. Yeah, if I would get back, heat may be a little strong. I would know where I would be. I'm just not worried. The reason people don't have joy is because they don't have peace. Because we attach peace to our circumstances. We attach peace to what's happening today. We attach peace to what mood we're in. So we get mood and peace mixed up. Peace is found in God. God don't change. As Marjorie said, she read the Bible every day for a whole year. So you know what? That probably gave her peace every day of the year. As she read that scripture, it gave her peace because God spoke to her in some way for that day to give her what she needed. It gave her something. Speak to your mountain. Speak to it and don't let it stand in your way. Go to the next verse, Brandon. I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's talk about this. I say this all the time. I've told my kids this as they're growing up. And I really believe this. And some of you don't believe this because you're on the other spectrum. You're the half-empty glass here today, okay? You truly can choose to be happy. You can choose to walk in peace. Because you sure do choose to be miserable. And you sure do. Any of you got road rage in here? You choose to have that road rage. When that guy cuts you off, you have a choice. In that split second, you have a choice to say, bless his soul, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Or you got a choice to do things that I hope to God you don't do. But in that moment, you got a choice. Well, he made me mad. He's an idiot. Okay, you're choosing to be an idiot too. Christian, well, I got to tell a story on Christian. Oh my God, this is a little sweet Christian, okay? This is a little sweet Christian, my daughter. She came back from Greensboro a couple years ago, moving back home after graduating for a few months. She went to Florida, and we're packing her stuff up, and she's in her car, and I'm got my car packed. We're coming back from the college to bring her back home. We're going down I-40, and traffic, you know, people zigging in and out, and Christian got frustrated with people, and she told her mama, she goes, oh, I got to get home before I cut somebody. I said, cut somebody? Good gosh. This is Christian, the humble, meek lamb. Cut somebody. So it's amazing how we allow things to rise up in us. Just so we allow anger to rise. I can't help it. My mama was that way. My daddy was that way. Well, I got one word for you. Change. Don't blame it on mama because she was a biddy. You ain't got to be a biddy too. It's in my genes. Get them out of your genes. Talk to God. Say, I don't want to be what my dad was, what my grandma was, what my brother was, what my sister was, what my pastor is. I don't want to be that. We choose. Church, we choose. And if we believe that mountain, maybe it won't move, but we'll move around it. I believe that. God, I believe that I can have joy in the middle of sorrow. That I can have peace in the middle of fear attacks. That, Lord, when anxiety overwhelms me, I can rise up, call upon your name, and you make things right. That you speak peace. We have a living faith, right? We're supposed to have a living faith. That's why this church is called Living Word. It's a living word. It's a word that's alive. It's beating. It's alive. It's well. It's active. That's why when you read a verse, and you read it again 2 months later, and again 2 months later, how God can speak to you three different ways. It's not that you got it wrong. It's God got it right. He's speaking to you what you need to hear. I mean, you know, when Marjorie lost her husband, she needed encouragement for that season. Then she lost her job. God bless her heart. Then she lost her job. She needed a word for that season. Then she lost her leg. Lieutenant Marjorie ain't got no legs. pretty tough year. But each time she battles those things, that word speaks to her in a way that she needs for that moment. That's why it's alive. It's living. It's not just some dead faith. Well, I'll go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And da-da-da. It's about taking it out of here and becoming that vessel that God's called us to be. We got to believe the word lives inside of us, that Jesus lives inside of us, that we take it wherever we go, that we're active. Next verse. Oh, that was it. Okay. Told you I had 4 or 5 verses. I want to talk for a minute about this. So many things we have let block us that we keep in front of us that discourage us. This is why the pharmaceutical world is making a killing because they're doping people up to try to make them happy. We know what the reports say. If you do any real studies, we know what reports say that most of these doping medications actually compound the problem and complement it and actually give you more depressive thoughts. I've taken an antidepressant pill to make me happy, but yet I'm more depressed. We have to realize that peace and joy and strength and comfort comes from our Heavenly Father. He has what we need. Church, He has what we need. I just can't cope in this life. Look, we don't need to add one thing to what God can give us. I mean, He's got everything in His bag to provide us that we need. Whatever that is, whatever season we're going through, it did not catch God off guard that Steve passed away. It did not catch God off guard that Margie lost her job. It did not catch God off guard that she lost her leg. She didn't really lose her leg, you know what I'm saying? It didn't, none of that caught God off guard. He knew. And during those seasons, He strengthens us. He empowers us. And He helps us. Because His love never fails. And His presence never leaves. And His grace never runs out. We, in this year, 2018, need to learn to walk in the joy and the peace and the power of God again. Man, we are, church, we are Christians. How many cheerleaders will we draft out of our local churches? Let's put it that way. How many cheerleaders could we get out of the local church? Because we're so depressed ourselves. We're so discouraged. We're so down. We let everything set us back. Instead of speaking to that mountain and saying, no, you're not setting me back this year. You're not setting me back. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to bow to you. You will not have control over me. You will not overtake me. You will not overpower me. I am going to break free by the power of God. I'm going to break through by the power of God. I'm not going to let you stand there one more moment staring at me, reminding me why I can't be where God wants me to be. We think we're too weak. We think we're too faithless. We think we're too powerless. We think we don't have enough understanding or enough wisdom or enough anointing or enough Holy Ghost. And none of those things are true. We serve a living God who is able and well able to do anything far and above anything we could possibly ask or even desire, even think about. He can do it. And as we go into 2018, the mountain cannot be there no more for to stop us to say, you know what? Mm-mm. 2017, I struggled to the point that I couldn't hardly even function. I struggled to the point that the hurt was so deep and the hurt was so bad and the pain was so severe that it changed who I was. Let God restore that. Look, just because you're in a dark place today, you're in a bad place, you're in a hopeless place, maybe you feel like the scars of your life are there and there's nothing to be done about it. We have a surgeon who can take care of those scars, who can restore that which the cankerworm and the caterpillar has eaten away. I can restore your joy. I can restore your hope. I can restore your peace. I can restore your life. I met a pastor yesterday. We're doing a joint. Well, I'm doing it. I'm using his church. I'm doing a funeral next Saturday. And I met this pastor down there. And you talking about a change. This pastor has a great, interesting story. He's probably about my age, I would say, close to my age. But he used to run and work for the mafia when he's in New York. He's a New York guy. Got the New York. He's a New York Italian. So he talked like this. You know what I'm saying? Jesus loves you. Great guy. New York Italian. He ran for the mafia for years. Ran with the mafia. Was in a biker gang. He collected the money for the mafia. Went around collecting money. So I'm sure collecting meant a little bit of a, I hate to break your arm if you don't pay me, but look like a pretty good arm, but oh well, you know. He was with a bad, bad crowd. He moved to Florida, he said, years ago, and he was still part of the mafia. He moved down there, and he was trying to start a business down there and do, you know, keep the mafia down there going and whatever. Well, he followed these bikers to one Sunday morning. He said a bunch of bikers, and that was his thing, was bikers. He rode a bike, and he loved bikes. Now, I know that Roger's not part of the mafia, so let's get that clear. though he has a bike, he's good. But he followed these bikes one Sunday morning. They pulled up to a warehouse. He got out, went in. Guess what it was? A church. He said, I sat down for a few minutes, and I was so mad. I was so angry, man. I wanted to get out of there. I didn't even stay for the whole service. I left. But he said, you know what? The next Sunday, I went back, got saved, changed his life, called his cousin in New York, and says, I'm done with the family business. He says, oh, you ain't done. You can't get out of this. You will not see my face again. A few weeks later, he got shot in the back in Florida, attempt on his life. He recovered from the wound. There were two more attempts on his life to take him out. The FBI, he was wanted by the FBI. He said, I was sitting at church. He was already pastoring then. This is about 5 years ago. He said, is there all these news stories coming out about all these big roundups for the mafia? They were arresting 90 people, 100 people. He knew he was part of all that. It was called the something scheme, not the Ponzi scheme, but he used a name. I'm not a mafia, so I don't know. I just like Italian food. He's at his church sitting one day. He said, I saw all his arrests going on. He said, I had a family. You know, he has five kids. He had a wife. He said, I couldn't bear it no more. I called the FBI, turned myself in. He says, look, here's where I'm at. Just come get me. He said, I'm tired of carrying. I'm tired of running, talking to my shoulder. Just come get me. He said, he put him on hold for, he said, it's like forever. Came back to the phone, says, Pastor so-and-so, have a good life. Good talking to you. See you later. Dropped everything. This was a complete transformation. This is a real life story, and I promise you I'm not making this up. This happened to me yesterday, this conversation. He's a pastor in Troutman, and this happened yesterday, this conversation. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, we can't believe that God can take away a headache. We can't believe God can watch over our child. We can't believe God can pay our water bill. Man, here's a guy that got set free from the ties of the mafia, attempts on his life, and rescued from arrest for many, many, many years in prison. God stepped in. God did a miraculous work. Man, God can do anything he wants. We got to believe him. You know, one thing that frustrates me, I hate it. I hate it with a passion. You know, I like watching sports. I do. I'm not like some of you guys, but I like watching sports. It doesn't change my life, but I like watching it. And I hate when I see these signs, they put players and so-and-so we trust. You see them in the stadiums, right? In Ben we trust. In Peyton we trust. How mockery is that? What has Ben or Peyton done for you but let you down? Right? I mean, what have they really done for you? Have they paid any of your bills? Have they saved your soul? Have they rescued you and give you peace and joy? They've gave you probably more heart attacks than anything. Oh, my gosh. Oh. That frustrates me, man. There's only one person we trust, and that's God. In God, I trust. In God, I trust. In God, all of my faith in him. In God do I believe. And though I can't see it right now, I know at any moment it can change. At any second, God can blow up on my mountain, and that mountain no longer be the obstacle holding me back. Whatever that situation, God can do it. Trust him and believe him and have faith in him, and don't carry that thing into next year. Because we weren't meant to carry those burdens. The Bible says, cast all your care upon God. He cares for you. We weren't meant to be bored. You know, I don't like Christians to talk about, well, to be humble is to be burdened. No, it ain't. To be burdened is to be miserable. I don't want no money. It makes me corrupt. You all want money. Quit that too. Being poor don't make you humble either. It just makes you broke. It don't make you humble. I know a lot of bitter people that's broke. When we humble ourselves under the hand of God, he says, he will exalt us in due season. And God, I want to humble myself going into this year, that you take over 2018 and that I have a year of breakthrough. Breakthrough. See, some of you in the church, here's your wall, whatever it is. You got a wall, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever it is you're battling. You got a wall, and here you are. You're right here. You just can't never get to on the other side, because that's all, wherever you move, it moves. It follows you. And what I'm believing for in 2018 is this wall that's before you and your destiny is, even if it stays there, you're going to be able to get around it, to get through it, or to get over it and fulfill what God has called you to do. Because he's not done. God is still all powerful. That moon is still hanging because God told it to hang. That sun is still shining because God spoke it many, many, many years ago. Things are in place because God has kept it in place. He can keep us in place as well. This year, 2018, a year of breakthrough. A year to where we no longer say, I've got to be who I've always been. No, you don't. You don't have to be that person you've always been. You don't have to have that struggle you've always had. And you don't have to carry that pain you've always carried. Man, I think, I don't know. Maybe some of us like carrying the pain. Maybe some of us are crisis people that we like. I don't like a crisis, man. I like peace. I truly like peace. I want peace and I want joy. And I don't want to let other people and other things affect that in my life. I'm going to choose in 2018 that I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to let my face be notified. I'm going to walk in the joy of the Lord because He has kept me for a reason. There have been so many people we have lost this past year. There have been, all over the world, deaths. You know, many, many, during this service this morning, there's, you know, hundreds of deaths around the world happening right during this service. Hundreds of people are dying right now. We're not one of those. Thank God. There's a reason. There's a purpose. God's not done. Brand new year coming up, 2018. Year of opportunity. Year of focus. And like what Marjorie said, we do focus on losing the weight. That's probably the biggest resolution. The gym memberships will spike the next few weeks. They will spike. And by April or May, they will drop. I was very, very regular for the first 8 months of the year. And then we went to Florida to see our daughter. Thanks. And I hadn't got back in the habit. That 9 days broke my routine. I know what you're thinking. I can't tell, Pastor, but, you know, I can. And so it broke it. But we do make weight resolutions. We make financial resolutions. Nothing wrong with that either. It's a great time to think about. I need to start saving some money, you know, saving a little bit of money every check or paying off my debt, you know, one by one, getting better financially, whatever. But the most important thing we can make this year, say, Lord, I want to make some spiritual decisions this year. And I can tell you as a pastor what one of them would be, and I would love to see it. As Marjorie read the Bible every single day for a year, what if y'all say, you know what, other than vacation or other than if I'm just deathly sick, I'm going to be at church every Sunday and every Wednesday. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, LaJune, Wednesday nights are good, aren't they? If you're missing Wednesday night, it's a different atmosphere. It's more intimate. It's more personal. It's you're missing that meeting. I know, but I got to work. Well, Melanie gets up at 4:30 every morning, and she's here most time. 3:30, excuse me. Gets up at 3:30. Anyway, I set the alarm for her, but whatever. It went off snooze about five times that morning. I said, we turn that thing off. Snooze. Get up or just don't set. Do y'all ever do that? If you're going to set snooze, at least just do it one time. If you're going to do it four or five times, just set your alarm later. Anyway, make a resolution. Say, you know what? I want to be a part of the church. I want to be here and I want to serve and I want to work. I've got some things this year I'm going to put on the table. I want to form some teams this year. There's little things. It's like little things. But I want to put up some volunteer opportunities. So we have some things in place that people want to be a part of to give you an opportunity to serve in the body of Christ, to serve. And church, I understand it's voluntary. I get that. I know that. I understand your time is valuable. I get that. That's why we don't have three-hour services. I understand that. I grew up in church where the services went until the preacher got tired of just talking. I get it. So I try to be timely of that. I really do. But we want to give you an opportunity this year to serve and start out the new year saying, you know what, next week's the first week of the new year. I'm going to be in church. I don't think the church realizes really what kind of congregation we have. If everybody would be here the same Sunday, we would have to add seats in the sanctuary. Pretty full crowd this morning, but we're missing quite a few people. If everybody was here, there's several families out. Some of them texted this morning, they were sick, whatever. If we had everybody here, we'd be having to add seats. And so you matter being here. You matter because you have a purpose. You really, really do. And so that's a challenge as a pastor. I want to say, okay, this year, so you know what? I want to be in church on a more regular basis on Sundays. And if you've never tried a Wednesday, I promise it ain't that bad. We don't do anything weird. You're not going to get picked out. It's just different. So enjoy the midweek service. I also want to encourage you with something else as a pastor's challenge this year. If you are not a part of giving to the church financially, say, you know what, I'm going to start supporting the local church. I'm going to start supporting the body of Christ. That's something I've not done. That's something I'm poor at. That's something that I have a problem with. That's something I don't see the purpose of. Pray that God will speak to your heart. Say, you know what, this year I want to make a difference. Because when you sow a seed, see, the devil's trying to stop me from talking right now. Or maybe one of y'all put a hex on me. Goodness gracious. Whew. I guess not. Every seed you sow to the Living Word Ministries, understand, it's making an eternal difference. Because this place is operating and open because of financial support. It's here. You know, we have this new space we're able to use for all kinds of things because of your support. The altar is open because of your support. We have a place to come together because of your support. So your seed is making a difference. So I want to challenge you as a pastor this year that's coming up. Say, you know what? I want to support my church this year. I want to put that in my plan. I want to put that in my budget because I sure can spend $6 or $7 at Starbucks, and I can spend money on this, and I can spend money on that. But the local church has changed my life. It's helped me, and it's strengthened me. And the faces that I see here make a difference in my life. And so make that a challenge as well. That's a couple of challenges I have personally. But spiritual challenges are very important. Pray. Seek the will of God. You know, as Marjorie says, say, you know what, I want to do things different and have my faith and my focus on him. Can you get me a watermelon or something? Gracious, I don't ever get choked up. Marjorie, come on, get ready and come up here and get ready just to play a little something. I want us to, as a church, I want us to do something this morning before we close. I think New Year's are always exciting. I know they can be sad as well because we reflect on maybe some of the challenges of the year or the disappointments of the year or the pain of our past year. But what's great is the New Year is like a windshield. We're looking forward to what God has coming our way. And I just want to encourage you, have faith in God, as the verse said. Have faith in God. Believe him more than you believe the mountain standing in front of you. Believe him. Believe him more than the challenges. Man, God can open the floodgates at any moment and bless you. I want to tell you how God worked. We got a check in the mail for the church from a family that has never been, that's never, ever been this church in a service to hear me preach. Wow. Never. That ain't the good part. Wait till I tell you. But they sent a check and they sent a text to me. And this is a family that's never been here but knows me, knows Melon. And they sent a check, thank you, last week to the church for $3,000. Incredible. So I sent a text. I said, I just want to thank you. You don't know what this means. Thank you for your support. And they said, well, we know that your church, that church is doing good things in the name of Christ. And said, they even made the comment that we should have been doing it all along. Amazing. I mean, amazing to get that kind of seed out of the blue from someone that doesn't even come here. And so I just am thankful for what I see God doing. And this is his church. It always has been. It always will be. It's his ministry. It's what he has started. It's what he has begun. I didn't plan on pastoring, but here it is, because God ordained it. God ordained it. And so, as this year comes to a close, the last time we meet in 2017 as a church, I want us to focus on that mountain not being in our way in 2018. All of us have a mountain. Some of ours are physical mountains that every day we're in pain. And every day that we have a good day is a blessing. Some of us are having such relational issues in our marriages or with our children, in our homes, in our families. The funeral I'm doing Saturday, the two families are so split, the two sides of the family, there's so much, the one side not going to be there at all for the service. There's so much damage, there's so much hurt, there's so much pain in the families that it breaks my heart. shouldn't be that way. Don't let your mountain be an excuse one more day. If they learned how to build roads through the Blue Ridge Parkway, God can build a road through our mountains. He can make a way for us to go through. We know there's going to be challenges in 2018 as well. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be things we don't want to happen. But if our faith is increased, if our spiritual self is renewed by reading our word every day, by being in the house of God on a regular basis to hear what he has to say. I mean, wouldn't most of you agree and attest that when you're in the house of the Lord, that you leave different than you came? You leave encouraged? You leave feeling better? There's a reason for that. Because we are in one mind and one accord and want to hear what God has to say. And all of us in here are hurting and we don't have it together. None of us have it put together. We've all got our issues. We all got our battles. The most spiritual one of us, the most Holy Ghost filled Christians in here, if that's even a term you want to use, have our challenges. What I feel this morning is that most of our mountains in front of us are caused by some kind of pain in our lives. And we can't get past the pain. We can't press past. And I'm talking to myself too, because I've had hurt and I've carried pain for several years in my own heart. Pain. And I've got to learn to let that pain go and let God take it away. That I can be made whole. Because I want to be made whole again. You remember the time you walked in joy. Gordon, remember the days you walked, man, in the joy of the Lord. The freedom of his spirit. To where you just, man, you were on fire for the things of God. And we've let things come into our lives and extinguish little by little that fire. We've let problems, we've let pain, we've let disappointments, we've let heartache, we've let other people, don't let nobody else put out your fire. Don't let nobody else extinguish you out. You stand there and say, I will not let you derail me of where God has planned for me. But most of our mountains are caused by some kind of pain. And that's what we can't press through. Whether it's, you know, the pain of a lost loved one, whether it's the pain of being hurt ourselves, whether it's the pain of a broken marriage or the pain of a lost child or the pain of a divorce or the pain of what somebody's done to us. Whatever that pain needs to be lifted off so we can go into a new year pain-free to celebrate the goodness of God. It's a new year. It's a new day. Y'all stand with me if you would. And just sing a little chorus, Marjorie, or something. Just pick a little chorus to sing for a minute.
Jesus, Lamb of
got room, I hope. I want to do this. Can we try to form a circle, if we can, around the church? Can we kind of line up, form a circle, see if we can get everybody in a circle around the church? However you got to get up here to the edges and just try to form a circle this morning so we can pray together as a church body. What song do you want to sing?
We'll do that at the end. We do this, okay?
Yes, that's fine. We'll do that. I want you to look around the circle at each other for a minute. This is your family. This is the faces of this church. Some are younger, some are older. Some are white, some are black. Some are tall, some are short. Some have hair, some are bald. But each one of us are family in here. And this church is so special to me because of what God has done. As a pastor this year, I just want to do and be where God wants me to be. And I want to preach the message for the year that He's given me. And I want to stay on the path He's placed me on. I want to pray. And as we pray this morning, I want you to visualize whatever mountain or mountains that's holding you back as we pray. And I want you to visualize as we pray, God moving you around, through, or over your mountains. That you leave the pain, that you leave the hurt, that you leave the anger, that you leave the bitterness, that you leave the hopelessness, that you leave the discouragement, that whatever it is, that you leave it here this morning. That we will walk out of here celebrating our deliverance and our breakthrough. Let's pray. Father, for this body of Christ, for this local church family, as we are joined hand to hand around this sanctuary, God, we see our mountain no longer as being an obstacle, but God, we visualize us going through, going over, and going around in 2018, that our shackles that have held us back will fall, that our strongholds will let go of us, and that we will not be bound. We will not be dictated to. We will not be commanded to bow our knee to what stands in front of us. But God, I pray for joy and peace and power and grace and mercy and deliverance and breakthrough for the people of God in this sanctuary. God, this is a new year. We are thankful for 2017, but we are hopeful for 2018. That we will see your glory poured upon our lives, poured upon our situations, that there will be a tangible, manifested breakthrough this year, that we will testify, look what the Lord has done in my life. We declare a year of blessing, a year of prosperity, a year of victory, a year of success, a year of favor, a year of healing, a year of hope in 2018. In the name of Jesus, we will cross through. We will not be stopped any longer by the pain that we're carrying. I pray for the pain to be lifted off and for our hearts to be healed. And if you remove all, Lord, that has burdened us down, and that we will have the joy of the Lord again in our hearts. Grateful for a new year. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim your goodness in 2018, and your protection in the name of our Lord. We pray this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Happy New Year.